Last week, we looked at what it meant to be a healthy Christian. And some of you might remember that the number one fact that we looked at about being a healthy Christian was whether or not our lives glorify God. That should be the number one goal for us as followers of Christ. Do our lives glorify God? Every decision that we make throughout the day, throughout our lives, should be prefaced with the question, will this choice glorify God? Right? It's a good way of making decisions. Will this choice glorify God? Now, as I mentioned last week, this morning we're going to look at what makes up a healthy church. So we looked at a healthy Christian. Now we're going to look at what makes up a healthy church. As a church, we do a lot of things. We have a play group, a kids club, a youth group, men's brekkie, Lamani Hour, BYLC, running groups, weirdos, home groups, and so on and so on it goes. But here's a question for you. Just because a church runs programs, is it healthy? Just because a church is busy, is it healthy? Is the point of a church to run programs? No. I've been to a few churches that run a lot of programs. I definitely would not say they are healthy in terms of being an honoring to Christ church. They may be a healthy business, but not a healthy church. Now, ultimately, a healthy church will have the same defining trait as a healthy Christian. In other words, does the church glorify Jesus Christ? If the church glorifies Christ, then it's going to be roughly on the right track. Now, I should say, does it glorify Christ, though, biblically? Not according to their own definition of what it means to glorify Jesus. Some churches, by accommodating the world and letting liberal theology in, might say that they are glorifying God. Others might say, due to their prosperity and wealth, they are glorifying God. But these things clearly go against the word of God. So no, the church that genuinely is honoring and glorifying God will roughly be on the right track. So, how is a church fully going to glorify God? If we want to understand how a church can glorify God, we first have to understand what the church is. Now, most people think they know what the church is, but I'm pretty sure that often people make a mistake in understanding what the church actually is. The church is not an organization. It's not a corporation. It's not a service provider. It's not a building. It's not entertainment. It's not a social club. It's not a holy huddle. It's none of those things, even though sometimes it may get used for them. The church, first and foremost, is the body of Christ. When Paul, or Saul, was persecuting Christians, if you remember, and Christ appeared to him, these are the words of Jesus. He said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting the church. And Christ's question is, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" See, the church is the body of Christ. If you attack the church, you actually attack Christ because he is the head of the body. So the body is, the church primarily is the body of Christ. That's who we are. He is our head, and the rest of us make up various parts of the body. This is why, if you're not a part of the body of the local church, unless you have a great reason, you no longer can make it, etc., etc., it's very hard to call you a Christian. Why? Because the church is the body of Christ made up of different parts. Its gathered parts make the body. A finger on its own is just a severed digit. It might be a part of the body, but if it's not connected to anything else, then it cannot function. Try taking a finger, attach it to a head, and see how you go. Right? It's not going to work. No, we're a body in wholeness as each of us makes up the body of Christ. This is why church partnership is so important. I know the whole membership partnership thing is not very popular today. I'm a Christian. Why do I need to be a partner of one group? It's too exclusive. I don't want to be labeled, etc., etc. But this is what being a Christian means. It means going to a singular church, a singular body, and cooperating together under the headship of Jesus. This is what it means to partner together in the body of Christ. And guess what? Those bits and pieces of the body, the various parts, they don't jump from one body to the next, do they? You don't, you know, my fingers don't hang out with me one day, then hang out with someone else the next, right? They belong to a body. We belong to a body, and we see that all the time in the scriptures, again and again and again. Here's one for you, Colossians 3:15. Okay, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. The peace of Christ, to which you were called in one body. Now remember this, Paul was writing the letter of Colossians to whom? Anyone? The church in Colossae. He was writing to a specific body, the church in Colossae. To the church in Colossae, Paul says, you were called to this body, a specific church in a specific place where they are called to band together and serve. Right? That is the call of Christ. That's what it means to partner together in the body of Jesus. Now, yes, all Christians everywhere make up the full universal body of Christ, but we are called to serve specifically in a local place. And most of the New Testament are letters addressed to specific bodies of Christ, the church in Philippi, the church in Colossae, and we go on and on and on. Or may it be the church in Bundaberg, or this specific church in Bundaberg. People were noted always as belonging to a specific body. Hebrews 10:24 to 25, well-known verse, says this, and let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Right? Gathering together as the body. Don't stop doing it, like, although some might. Gather in the body and encourage one another, rebuke one another, strengthen one another, all the more as times get harder. It's important that we make a firm commitment to the body, that each of us is willing to play our part. For this is the commitment that we make. If one part of the body is hurting, then all parts of the body will hurt. Let me explain very simply what it means to partner here in this church. If we take a body, take your body for instance, each and every part of it is connected, is it not? If you cut off a finger, won't your hand hurt? True? If you cut off an ear, your head will hurt. If you cut off a foot, your leg will hurt. I'm sure you get the picture. It's all connected. If you remove a part of the body, it will hurt. Clothes, on the other hand, clothes simply adorn the body. When you get undressed, it doesn't hurt. For clothes are external to the body, and they simply use the body to hold their form and to display beauty or brand. Let me ask you a question. If you left this body, what part of it would hurt? If you left this body here at BBC, what part of it would hurt? If for some reason you were cut off, what part of the body would be in pain? If the answer is nothing, then you're not a part of the body, but you're an item of clothing. And you're here to simply adorn yourself and display your brand. The reality is, are you a part of the body that will hurt if it's cut off? Or are you simply an item of clothing? That's the challenge of being a partner and a part of the body of Christ. What will hurt if you were to leave? Now, let me make this really clear. I had an older person say to me the other day, "Sam, I can't serve the way I used to." But you can pray, right? You can pray. And let me ask you this. Does the body not hurt if people don't pray? Yeah, it does. But here's the thing. Don't just say, "Oh, I'm older now, I've got less commitments, I can pray," and then spend 2 minutes a day in prayer. No, no, make a commitment to the body. "I'm older now, I have less commitments, and I can pray." Well, pray. Find out what the needs of those young mums are who are struggling with the kids and all of the difficulties that that brings on, and families who have been reduced to one income, or find out what's going on with people who are battling illness and pray. Make it so you are indispensable to the body because you genuinely, deeply, carefully pray for the body. And let me tell you, the body will hurt if that's taken away. Right? I'm not saying you have to sign up to a program, but in some capacity, what part of the body hurts if you were to be taken away? And if the answer is no, then that is a great problem. Being a partner here in the church means something hurts if you're not there. Each and every one of us can be a partner. Each and every one of us can find a way to serve the body in such a way that it will cause pain if you aren't there. Another way that the Bible refers to the church, the body, is as a family. A few weeks ago, my daughter Elke borrowed our car. And she put a scratch in it. Any parent ever been there? Surely not just me. There's a couple of hands going up. Everyone else is not admitting it for some reason. So what did I do? I yelled at her, told her she wasn't meeting my expectations as a driver and daughter, and I decided I'd go find a new daughter whom would be more suitable for the family. Right? That's the only logical thing to do. No, of course not. She's my daughter, whom I love dearly, like all of my family. And at times, she lets me down. That's a fact. Doesn't alter my love or commitment to her. I know I let her down as well. Doesn't alter her love or commitment to me. I also know that she's growing and she's learning, and in growing and learning, we make mistakes. That Beth and I are uniquely called to help our daughter learn and grow. And I need to be a part of that process so I don't simply trade her in for a new one. This church, as you look around, is a body and it is a family. It is a living, breathing body, not a cold organization. And being a body means it's alive and growing and changing as it matures. Which means it's also a family where love and commitment to one another should be clear. Love and commitment that accepts the failures and accepts that there is growth and accepts actually that we have a part to play in helping that growth take place. there's a weakness in your body. This particularly as you're getting older. If you sprain your ankle, the rest of your body doesn't wage war against the ankle for being weak. The rest of the body will actually compromise in order to support the weaker part. Those of you above the age of 40 here, if you sprain your ankle and you have to walk for a while without putting weight on that ankle, what happens? Lots of other things hurt, right? Because the fact is, the rest of your body takes the weight that normally dwelt with the ankle. The rest of the body kicks in to support the ankle, even though that means the body's going to hurt. But it's willing to do it to support the weight of the weaker part of the body. The reality is, if one part hurts, the other part will hurt in support. Friends, that is our commitment to one another as partners in the body. When a part of the body is weak, when a part of the body isn't able to achieve what it should achieve or what you would like it to achieve, we don't wage war against it. We don't gather other parts of the body to hate it. We don't try to cut it off and leave it behind. No, the other parts of the body take weight from the injured part, even if it means they have to hurt to help support them. It's a biblical principle. 1 Corinthians 12:25 to 26 says this, 1 Corinthians 12:25 to 26, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If one part suffers, they all suffer with it. This is the idea of the rest of the body taking the weight for the injured part of the body. So we're a family, we serve. If we were to leave, it would cause pain to the rest of the body because we're deeply connected in and we're contributing to the health of the whole. But when we're wounded, we're not simply cut off. The rest of the body takes weight to help the body thrive and function and keep moving forward following Jesus. That is what it means to be the body of Christ, and that's what it means to be in partnership together. It's that level of commitment. How good would it be if we're a body that's willing to suffer for one another? We have a genuine commitment of sacrificial love for one another. That we would truly be a family. You know, I've said this before, but once upon a time, the old saying, blood is thicker than water, actually referred to Christianity, the blood of Christ. And then it got kind of borrowed and changed to mean that family, as in your physical family, is thicker than friendships. Well, so now I just change it and say blood is thicker than water, but the spirit is thicker than blood, right? We are called through Christ to family. A deep commitment to one another. That means we hold that care and compassion like we do for our own children, and we have that same commitment to one another here in the church. Now, I know for a fact some of you will be sitting here this morning saying that that's not your experience of church. Others will say that's not my experience of this church. And I'm sorry for that. But each of us, according to the scripture, has a part to play in being the solution to that. Because each of us is a part of the body that's been called to the benefit of the whole. Each of us has a part to play in helping grow the church more into the likeness of Christ. Sometimes we've been hurt directly because of the actions of someone else. And that's sad, and that's the result of sin that's still at play in the world. And for that, we repent, we ask forgiveness, or we enact church discipline as necessary. But at other times, we need to take responsibility. we need to make sure that we are a part of the body that's contributing the way we are called to do. You know, when churches are made up of about 30 people, the very first church, I started out as a two-day-a-week youth pastor, the Grange Baptist Church in Brisbane. We were about 30 people. It's really easy to know what's happening in the life of the body. Really easy to be connected to the rest of the body. And actually, it's quite easy to feel pain when a part of the body's not there because you're so small. But, you know, what are we now? I don't know, a church of probably 200 people or something if everyone was here. It gets tougher, doesn't it? A little bit harder to be connected to the whole body, which, by the way, is why we push home groups so much. Because home groups are a place where you are connected, where you are known, where people depend on you, and you can depend on others. But let me tell you this, church, we are a bit bigger. There are lots of people here. It's no good for you to sit around waiting for people to ask you to serve. You need to be bold enough and upfront enough to pester people to get involved. Ask a leader in the church. Ask someone who's running a ministry in the church. Come up to them and say, how can I be a part of that? How can I be involved in that? One day, when you stand face to face with Jesus, and he says, here are the talents I gave you. What did you do with them? The suitable response is not going to be, nothing, no one asked. Because Jesus is going to say, I did. I told you in the word to serve, that you were gifted for the benefit of the body. So what did you do with it? Right? It's not an excuse to say no one asked. No, find your way in. Kick down a door. Get involved, right? That's it. You have a part to play in the church. And like I said, it looks different for different people. For some people, it means you do get on the mowing roster, or you get on the cleaning roster, or you serve as a youth group leader. For others, it's not like that. The part you play might be incredibly missional. You've got a real gift at reaching out to the lost. It might be prayer. It might be, but whatever it is, do it for the glory of God. Right? That's what it means to partner in the church. One day when you see Christ face to face, that's what we're going to be able to say, Lord, I took the gifts that you gave me and I used those for your glory and for the benefit of the body. Right? Whatever that looks like in your context. So why does it all matter? What's so important about all of this that as a church, if we're going to be healthy, we need to glorify God, that we need to understand in partnership that we're a part of the body and we're also a family? Well, I want to come to this great passage that you should know very well, which describes the church. So we're going to go to Acts 2, 42 to 47. Acts 2, 42 to 47. The early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. When people who didn't know Jesus at all saw the body working as it should, saw the commitment to one another like family, the way it should be, they liked it. They had favor with all the people. Tell me, isn't what we're just seeing and describing here something that everyone would like? A community of people who treat each other genuinely like a family, like we're all parts of one body, who carry the weight for a part that's hurting, who forgive and help move on like a family does, right? So the church is called to be that body, and they had favor with all the people. Is it any wonder? And the Lord added daily to the number who were being saved. Now, salvation does not come from us. We cannot run programs that will make people become Christians if we just have the right technique, the right days of purpose, etc., etc. No, Jesus saves people, full stop. Right? Jesus saves. His death on the cross, his resurrection on the third day, his glorification, his work from start to finish. We are not saved by programs. We are not saved by flashy preachers. We are not saved by good music. We are saved by Jesus dying on the cross for you. And when you repent and believe, he gives you life. That's how we're saved. Full stop. But what we can do is show the world the character of God when his body glorifies him the way it should. Show the world what it looks like when you walk with Jesus together in the body of Christ. Bundaberg Bible Church, how amazing would it be if in this community of Bundaberg, we actually show what the character of God is like by the way we operate as his body. Amen? Right, that's what we can do. We can display the glory of God as we serve together in the church. If we glorify Christ, if we put him first, if we love one another deeply, if we show forgiveness, if we help one another grow, then God in his mercy, because of the way we glorify him, may choose to add daily to the number of people he is saving in this church. Isn't that a hope? Isn't that something we should be praying for? As we glorify Christ in every way, that he would say, here's a church that honors me, I will save people through them because I know the glory will come to myself, to Jesus, the right place. Right? We can show the world the character of God. Many people today say, why would I go to church? That would only make me feel worse. You know, this should not be how the church is viewed. Yes, we have strong moral stances. There are things we will never buckle on. We will never support abortion. We won't support homosexuality or transgenderism. There are many things we just will not support. But more than being known for those things, we should be known for a place where sinners are shown the love of Christ and welcomed into the body. Right? Where the broken are shown love, support, and care by other parts of the body who will take the weight. Right? That's what we need to be known for. We'll never change our stances. We'll preach them freely, but we should be known as a body who will love and bring unity. Mark 3, 32 to 35. Last little bit we're going to look at. Mark 3, 32 to 35. A crowd was sitting around him, Jesus, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Church, actions speak louder than words. Right? Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, mother, father, whatever it might be. Whoever does God's will. Not whoever stands up on a Sunday and talks about God's will. Not whoever sits down on a Sunday and listens to what God's will is. Not anyone who turns up to church, goes to a home group, but those who do God's will. Those who put it into practice. Those who begin to live out what it means to partnership together in the body of Christ. Those who treat one another like real, genuine family in love, forgiveness, in training and growing and rebuking in righteousness. When we live out these truths day by day in lots of little ways, when we live out the grace and forgiveness and the unity of the body of Christ, then we're going to see the blessing of Jesus on this church. And let's make 2022 the year where we're truly a healthy church, because we don't just talk about glorifying and edifying God, but we actually do it. Where we genuinely love one another in partnership the way we're meant to. Church, if you've been hurt here or elsewhere, can I ask you in Christ, forgive, let go, and make 2022 the time where you just start to glorify Christ every day as we work together to make a healthy body right here. Church, that's the call of Christ on our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we seek to glorify you individually. We seek to glorify you together as your body and family. Lord, we pray that for 2022, right here in this town, this place, then we would accept our role as partners in the body. We would work together in love and unity and forgiveness, Lord, enacting your will, enacting what your word says. And Lord, we pray that as outsiders see the love, the grace, the forgiveness, the generosity, all of those things here in the church, they'd say, man, there's something amazing there. And then Lord, as we'd say it's all about you, it's because of you and it's for you, Lord, we pray that you would add daily to the number of people being saved in this place. Lord, the more that we can shine the glory where it belongs, straight on Jesus Christ, we pray that more people would come to celebrate your glory and goodness. Lord, we pray and ask this in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.